The reading from the Gospel this morning is from the 7th chapter of Matthew. It's the first of our hard sayings of Jesus. You know the sayings are hard when they're what's called an orphan text, when they are not in the three-year cycle of readings called the Revised Common Lectionary. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But listen for the word of God. Jesus said, "Go in through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is wide, and the road broad, and many travel it. But it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Beware of the false prophets. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every healthy tree produces good fruit, but a poor tree produces poor fruit, bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, or a poor tree good fruit. Any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire, so you will recognize them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, only those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name?' Then I will tell them to their faces, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Having grown up in two very different Christian traditions, I have witnessed some very different ways of approaching Scripture. But it is telling that the Baptist half of me and the Methodist half of me are both uncomfortable with this reading, with this hard bit of preaching from Jesus. And so are the traditions that shaped me. And they both respond by editing the text selectively. The mainline church, as I said before, just avoids the text entirely. It is not in the lectionary cycle of readings at all, so that we won't have to be bothered by it every 3 years hearing this dreadful piece of stuff from Jesus. We don't want to be bothered by it because it is a hard saying. It less hard, I think, than just unpleasant for those of us in the mainline church. It seems exclusionary. It challenges the soft, fuzzy humanism that we espouse and the gospel of nice that we preach. We don't want to wrestle with a text that looks this, well, mean. We don't want to struggle with the hard words and see how they might shape us or convict us. And so, we edit it out. That was easy. Problem solved. Now my Baptist half? Oh, we love the first paragraph. I heard lots of sermons on, "Go through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is wide and the road broad, and many travel on it, but it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it." We like that bit. You know why? Because we knew that we were the few who had found it. Because we were Baptist. We like that bit because we knew that the narrow gate was coming to Fox Lake Baptist Church. Opening the narrow gate was accepting Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and the hard, narrow road was keeping a narrow mindset in a world that kept challenging us to broaden our horizons. While the world was going to hell in a handbasket, we had a tight grip on our golden tickets to heaven. The narrow way was staying with people who were just the same as us, and thought the same as us, and looked the same as us, and believed the same as us. And the church would help us in that narrow way by encouraging us to keep close to home, on the straight and narrow, theologically speaking. Now, for us kids, that meant don't go to the Boy Scouts, they're secular. Go to Awana instead. Don't date kids from your high school. They're fornicators and drug addicts. Date the kids from the other evangelical churches in the area. And stay away from R-rated movies. You should go hang out at the Evangelical Youth Center. Get the tin canteen. No, really. And don't go to that satanic University of Illinois. You need to attend Moody Bible Institute. And if you do go to the big University of Illinois, make sure you hang out with kids from the Campus Crusade for Christ or InterVarsity and not with the bad influences of those other kids. The narrow way was easy. Call Jesus Lord, Lord, and stick close to home. And if you hear anything coming from the world, you go, la, 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 la. I heard lots of sermons on the narrow way. But you know what I never heard a sermon about? The third paragraph of our reading today, where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, which is Matthew's version of Mark's kingdom of God. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? I didn't hear sermons on this text because now Jesus was messing with us, the chosen few, his chosen few. And he was messing with our theology. We were pretty comfortable hanging out and being Baptists together, saying, Lord, Lord, on Wednesday night, and Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. Sunday evening was without ties. And so what did we do? We edited it out. That was easy. Problem solved. But it's not easy. The world is not easy. Jesus offered us a hard saying about a hard way because our hearts are hard. And the way the world is hard. Ours is a world that birthed a Charleston massacre this week, and that hits close to home because that's the city of my birth. Ours is a world that births a Boston bombing, a Ferguson injustice, a McKinney outrage. Ours is a world that puts profit before people, convenience over creation. It confuses violence for statecraft and vengeance for justice. It confuses hatred for patriotism. The Confederate battle flag still flies over the capital of South Carolina today, not even at half-mast, while the blood of 9 Methodists stains the floor of a church. 9 beautiful black Christian people killed by a man who put the values of that flag into deadly action. We can't live in this world and brush our hands and edit it out and say that was easy, because it's not easy. The world is a hard place in desperate need of transformation and reconciliation. And here is the hardest thing, brothers and sisters. God, in Jesus Christ, has entrusted the church, people like you and me, to be about the transformation, to be partnering with God in the reconciliation of the world, what Judaism calls tikkun, the healing of creation. The soft, fuzzy, anemic God of many of our mainline churches is powerless to transform our world. A gospel of nice can't transform the world. The self-congratulatory Puritanism of many evangelical churches is powerless to heal such a world. And a secular anthropology that places an individual's personal happiness and self-actualization above all else will not transform the world. The healing and the transformation of the world requires faithful people willing to walk a hard, narrow, difficult path. It's the path of Jesus, who is the way for us. On Thursday night at annual conference, the New England Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, at the ordination sermon for our ordinands, the United Methodist Bishop of West Ohio, Bishop Gregory Palmer, a Christian, a black man, challenged us New England Methodists. And man, he could preach. I haven't got preached at like that in ever, I don't think. And whenever the white folks come up afterwards, they're like, I'm not even going to bother preaching now. But he reminded us, and reminded the ordinands, and reminded all the non-ordained folk out in the cheap seats, like you, that ordination journey began at baptism, and it's the same journey that all of us are called to walk. And he reminded us that when we were baptized, we or our parents made these vows: I accept the freedom and power God gives me to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. And the congregation made this vow to those who were ordained: we will do all in our power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and the scariest of all, perfect them in love. The narrow way is living like we are baptized. The narrow way is remembering that the waters that began our journey of faith continue to shape us and grow us into the full stature of Jesus Christ. The way is wide that leads to death, Jesus said. And we have a lot of characteristics of that wide road. Now, the church I grew up in said that wide road was going to R-rated movies and dancing to talking heads, or hanging out with people who had not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, or were people, or you were a person who hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I don't think R-rated movies was what Jesus had in mind. The wide road is a road of fear. It's a road of violence and anger and retribution. It's a road of privilege and prejudice and powers and principalities. Now, those are easy for us, pretty comfortable middle-class white folk, to name because few of us spend too much of our time thinking about how we are actively hating others. Because we've got the gospel of nice. Here's my wide road. The wide road that I'm tempted to walk every day. Ambivalence, apathy, indifference, comfort, thinking it's not my problem. It's a wide road. It doesn't require active hatred like Mr. Roof to perpetuate a world of pain. It just requires good people to do nothing. Jesus said, the way is narrow that leads to life. And that one's easy. Love. One word. Love is the narrow way. Because love leads inevitably to mercy and faith and hope and forgiveness and peace. The way of Jesus was the way of love. The way of Jesus is the gate to the narrow path. The way of Jesus is the narrow way. It is the way of life-changing obedience to the God to whom Jesus pointed with everything he did. Sacrificial love, radical nonviolence, true forgiveness, restorative justice, deep, deep, deep prayer. The way of Jesus, the narrow way, is about welcoming in those who are different. It's about reaching out across the borders of nation and clan and color and race and religion and gender identity and orientation. The way of Jesus is about healing broken, marginalized people and challenging those systems that break people. People like Mr. Roof. And marginalized people. And privilege the few over the many. The way of Jesus tenderly whispers to the suffering, come to me, you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But the way of Jesus also boldly challenges the comfortable and the complacent to take up the burden of the cross and for us to follow him on a narrow path that inevitably leads to Golgotha. You may have noticed that the slides we had and our songs and our prayers all had various ways of looking at hearts. Hearts in Western culture are a metaphor, a symbol of embodied love. It's the kind of love that struggles to make the world a better place versus the squishy emotional love that doesn't do anything but look at itself in the mirror. Hearts are the symbol of the narrow way, the love of the narrow way. It's hard to love in a hard world. One journeyer of the narrow way, Martin Luther King Jr., said,
to the people with the fire hoses and the dogs. You can do anything you want to us, but you can't make us hate you. That's the narrow way. There's a wide way. The polite wide way that I tend toward is ignoring all of it. The news cycle will move on in 24 or 48 hours and we'll be worrying about the Kardashians again and not about Charleston. There's also the wide way of revenge and hate. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley yesterday said that she wants Roof, whom she called a person filled with hate, to be executed. She didn't hear the irony. He was filled with hate and he killed people. So let's kill him to show that killing is wrong and hatred is wrong. She hasn't said anything about taking down the Confederate battle flag that Roof embodied. Carson Cowles, Roof's uncle, told ABC News, quote, "If he's found guilty, I'll be the one to push the button myself." Do you hear the cycle? Hatred, vengeance, the same emotional basis that caused Roof to plan and execute his massacre in the first place. The same one that caused a twisted young man in Boston to explode a homemade bomb at the marathon. And then I can name 100,000 more because the cycle continues. And there's only one way to stop the cycle. And that's the narrow way. Here's what it sounded like this week. Alana Simmons, whose grandfather, the Reverend Daniel Simmons, died in the attack, said this, "Although my grandfather and the other victims died at the hands of hate, this is proof. Everyone's plea for your soul," she was speaking to Mr. Roof, "is proof that they lived in love. Their legacies will live in love, so hate won't win." I just want to thank the court for making sure that hate doesn't win. Nadine Collier, the daughter of victim Ethel Lant, said to Roof, "I forgive you. You took something very precious away from me. I will never get to talk to her ever again. I will never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people. If God forgives you, and he does, I forgive you." The sister of DePayne Middleton, a doctor who was killed, she said, "That was my sister. And I'd like to thank you on behalf of my family for not allowing hate to win. For me, I'm a work in progress, and I acknowledge that I am very angry. But one thing that DePayne always enjoined in our family is she taught me that we are the family that love built. We have no room for hating, so we have to forgive. I pray, God, on your soul." We are the family that love built. She may have been talking about her immediate family, but she was also talking about the African Methodist Episcopal Church that she belonged to. It's the family that love built. It's the family that the narrow way built. That church that where the shooting occurred has been a symbol of dignity for African American people for going on 200 years. And it has been burnt down multiple times because it is a symbol of black dignity in a world of white racism and privilege. Emily Heath said, "The ones who choose to do evil in the gathering places of the faithful forget one thing. These are not mere buildings. They are symbols of community built often in resistance to hate. They are the places first built by new immigrants or freed slaves or spiritual refugees or genocide survivors. They have known pain before, and they know how to survive it and transform it, and they know how to thrive in the face of the worst that the small-minded and hateful can do, and they know how to live with a faith that those who take up violence will never understand." Bishop Palmer reminded us that the narrow way is living every day like we are baptized, growing in faith, grounded in hope, being made perfect in love. He said that the news of this heinous crime will not be forgotten, but it will not overtake us. It is bad news. But it is not the only news. We're called to turn toward it, just as Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem. God has raised up a people. God has raised up a people. Us, Essex Center United Methodist Church, and our brothers and sisters in faith, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our nation, and around the world. And not just Methodists, not just Christians, but people of all faith and people of no faith who are walking the road of healing and justice. "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord," Jesus said, "will inherit the kingdom, but those who do the will of Abba in heaven." We've experienced bad news this week, but we are bearers of good news. The love, the reconciliation, the forgiveness, the justice, the mercy, the compassion that we embody as followers of the narrow way. Amen.